Today we're coming from Psalm 26. Today's one of those days you couldn't look at the back of the program and see where we were going, could you? The 26th Psalm is where we're coming from today. The 26th Psalm in the book of Psalm, the 26th one. One written by David, by King David. So we're at the 26th Psalm. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there are times in life when we feel like we are not recognized for our integrity. There are times when others will slander our name. We work hard to follow Christian principles and allow them to dictate our daily activities. But not everybody is happy with our sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. In this passage, the 26th Psalm, we talk about King David, who had a similar problem. King David was a godly king for all the people, but not all the people were happy about that. David had a great love for worship, praise, and he had a great love for being in the sanctuary of God. Before the temple was built in Jerusalem, God's sanctuary was in a tabernacle in Mount Zion. And David loved worshiping the Lord in the tabernacle. Loved him so much so that he even wanted to build the permanent temple in Jerusalem. But he was not allowed to, but his son was allowed to. That's how much he loved the Lord. He wanted the temple to look much better than his palace. He loved the Lord that much. And as you look at the life of David, you can see he had reasons to move away from the Lord at several times in his life. But it was the Lord who kept him going, who kept him focused, who protected him when he was on the run, who sheltered him from King Saul and all of his men, who sheltered him when those in his administration did not like him and slandered his name. It was the Lord. And likewise, it is the same for us. When others talk about us, when others try to get vindictive against us, when others try and shame us, it is the Lord who continues to walk with us. In this psalm today, David is asking for vindication. He is asking for examination. He wants to be examined so that the Lord would know that his only focus is on the Lord. Amen. In the midst of all that is going on around him, his focus is on the Lord. So I think it's the same for us today. Lord, please examine us. As a matter of fact, that's the title today. Examine me, O Lord. Examine me, O Lord. You know, we have different types of examinations. Some good and some bad. Some will cause us stress as we prepare for the examination. Some will cause us joy after the examinations. We have examinations in school where we have to study hard and prepare for tests. And those examinations are supposed to show how well we've done and how much of a grasp we have on the information. People stress out over tests like that. There's something we have to do annually to our vehicles. It's called an inspection. It's called an examination. And if you have not maintained your vehicle, you will stress out over that. Lord, please, let these lights work during the examination. Lord, please, these windshield wipers, I know I need to change them. But preferably, they will overlook them. I know I got one tail light out. Oh, Lord, please, let me pass. It will cause us stress when we are having our inspections. When we're preparing to go to the doctor, we can stress out because we are hurting in places we have never hurt before. And we can ask ourselves, we in our own mind, we can conjure up the diagnosis. But it's not until we've had the test that we know what is really going on. Examinations happen all the time. And there are people who will try to tell you what is going on with you. Amen. They will try and tell you what is going on with you as if they know. As if they have divine discernment, they will tell you what's going on and the solution to what's going on. Remember Job? His friends. What have you done, Job? His wife. Well, Job, you're just hurting all over. You've depleted our bank account. You've done everything. You just need to curse God and just die. People will try to tell us the solution when God is still working with us. This is what has happened to David. David has an administration of individuals who are not like him. He has people who don't walk like him. He has people in his administration who think wicked things. They might be in the tabernacle on the day of worship, but the other 6 days of the week, they're doing evil throughout the land. So David is sharing this psalm with us and with the Lord to let us know that it's examination time. Now, my question is, are we prepared to be examined? Are we prepared for the examination? As we look at the very first verse of Psalm 26, it says, "Vindicate me, Lord." Now, I'm reading from the New King James translation. I know the King James says, "Judge me." But the New King James says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip." Amen. What he is saying is, Lord, just judge me, Lord, in the midst of what is going on. I need to defend my reputation. Lord, you should act justly towards me based on my devotion to you, based on my trust in you, and based on my walk with you. We know that David was a man of integrity. He was a man after God's own heart. I have walked in my integrity. I have walked according to the ways that you dictate, O Lord. I have walked that way. I have tried my very best to be the very best for you, O Lord. Now, we have the benefit of this great holy book, and we know that David was not perfect in all of his ways. But that's where grace comes in. Amen? That's where grace. He is saying, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord." I have trusted in you, Lord. I have trusted in you when I was on the run, Lord, that you were sheltering me. One of the earlier psalms, David even says, or one of the later psalms, David even says that I long to be in the sanctuary one more time. This when he had to go in hiding, when King Saul was looking for him, he longed to be in the house of worship once again. But he trusted in the Lord, and everything turned out all right. And because of his trust, he could say, "I shall not slip." Amen. His faith keeps him from slipping. His trust keeps him from slipping. Can we say the same thing today? When we have opportunities to slip, where is our trust in God? Where is our faith in God? If the truth be told, every day we are presented with new opportunities to slip. What is this thing called slipping? Slipping is the lack of stability. Slipping is being on uneven ground and unsettled ground. Slipping is something that is a dangerous thing. What do they tell us when we have the ice storms in the winter? Be careful and don't slip. You know, it is something about walking on ice when we can gain no traction. And how do we walk? We can't walk like we normally do. We have to take those little baby steps. We got to put one foot in front of the other and kind of twist that, make sure that one's okay. then bring the other foot up. Why? Because we need to be careful when we're on a slippery slope. Amen? And the older I get, the more I understand how more careful we have to be. Back in the day, I'd take a running jump and slide across the ice. I don't do that much anymore. Every now and then, I will do that. But sometimes you pay the price of sliding on the ice. Amen? But slipping is something that we do not want to do. We like to be on stable ground. We like to be on settled ground. We like to be on ground that we cannot be moved. But to slip means to have your moral foundation wiped out from beneath you. To slip means to forget who you are and whose you are. To slip means to take a temporary vacation from your relationship with the Lord. He says, my feet, or I shall not slip. When I remember what you've done for me, I shall not slip. When I recall where I would be right now, if it wasn't for you, it gives me the faith to not slip. So vindicate me, Lord, or defend my reputation. I'm among people, Lord, that use the same vocabulary that I do, but evidently don't mean the same thing that I do when I say praise the Lord. So in verse 2 and the rest of this chapter, it pretty much talks about examine me, O Lord. Look at verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my mind and my heart. Lord, examine me, Lord. Examine my claim, Lord. Examine my life, Lord. Examine me, Lord, and prove me, Lord, and vindicate me, Lord, and defend me, Lord. Try my mind and my heart. Now the mind is where the moral decisions are made. It is in the mind that we try to rationalize what we want to do when we want to do wrong. Amen? It is in the mind that we'll conceive things that we ordinarily would not try to achieve. It is in the mind. The mind is the place of moral decisions. But David was saying that my mind is set on following you. Try my mind and my heart. The heart condition. The heart is the place of emotions. Try my mind and try my heart, and you will see that I've been faithful to you, Lord, is what David is saying. And in verse 3, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have walked. Now earlier in verse 1, he said, I have not slipped, which used the illustration of us walking. And now he's saying, I have walked in truth. Do you know when you walk in truth, you are walking on solid ground. You are walking on stable ground. For your loving kindness, your love is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth, Lord. I have tried my very best to stay on the right path, stay in the right way, Lord. I've tried not to veer off to the left or to the right, Lord. I've tried to consult you, Lord, before I go into any activities, before I rule over the people, before I engage in any battles, Lord. I come to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I'm walking in your truth. Then in verse 4, you know, I have a subtopic here called vindication by my separation. Amen? Vindication by my separation. Or in other words, who I haven't hung out with. Amen? Look at verse 4. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals. I have not sat with the idol worshipers. I have stayed away from them. Nor will I go in with hypocrites. Now, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals. That does not only mean sitting next to them, that means being among them. I don't make a practice of hanging out with folks who worship other idols. even people who come to the house of God but still have their other idols that they worship. I don't make a habit of doing that, nor will I go in with hypocrites, nor will I go in with people who are not what they say they are, nor will I go in. Now, you know, growing up, when we wanted something and we could not afford it as young men, we would go in together and buy it, amen? We would pool our resources. And somebody would say, who wants to go in with me, amen? Whether it was for a big meal or whether it's for a party. You know, there are some folks that I cannot go in with anymore, amen? Because they're going in for the wrong thing, for the wrong reasons. I can't sit with you anymore. I can't really hang out with you anymore. I know that we were tight, we were boys back in the day, but things have changed. I'm at a different level in my lifestyle. But you know what? You can go ahead and talk about me because you don't understand me. And that's what David is saying. They don't understand me. They don't understand the relationship I have with you. They don't understand how much you mean to me. They don't understand how much you were with me. They don't understand that it was not me who beat Goliath, but it was through your power, Lord, that I beat the big giant. They don't understand that the battles I've won was based on you, Lord, and not myself. They don't understand. So now they see me trying to separate from them. They're going to talk about me. They're going to slander your name. They're going to slander you. They're going to accuse you of everything under the sun. They're not going to call you up to invite you to events anymore because you are different. No, you are a child of God. And unless you are part of this family, you don't have what it takes to comprehend what has gone on, the change that has gone on in an individual's life. Nor will I go in with hypocrites. I ask you today, I know there's somebody in your life that you can't go in with anymore. Amen? Those days are gone. You know, you can go in with something, but I just can't go there with you on this day. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Again, these are people who I haven't hung out with. We can be vindicated by our separation from certain people. I have hated. I see them gathering together and scheming for every type of evil under the sun. I see them doing this for their own benefit and not for the people. I just can't deal with that, oh Lord. I don't hang around that type of discussion. And they don't bring it up in front of me because they know I won't tolerate it. So they talk about me behind my back. And I will not sit with the wicked. When they start changing from the topics on the meeting and start gossiping, I got to get up and leave. When they start talking about other people and other activities and other opportunities, there are some things that don't agree with the word of God. I just got to leave. There are some things that we can no longer hang around. There are some things we can never go in with. There are some places that we can no longer sit.
That's right.
You know, so much of our testimony is not based off of what comes out of our mouth, but about how we walk. And about who we sit with, who we hang with. We negate our testimony. We negate our testimony when our actions are opposite of what we're talking about. Amen? We negate our testimony. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. But just as we can be vindicated by our separation, in verse 6, we can be vindicated by our associations. Vindications by associations. Look at verse 6. I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord. I will wash my hands. In the Old Testament, before the priests could go into the temple, they had to ceremonially wash their hands. That was symbolic of leaving the dirt at the door. Amen? And that's what David is saying. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar. So I will go to the tabernacle. I will not take the mess with me, oh Lord. You know, there are some people that will make you take their shoes off when you go to their house. Why? Because they don't want you to bring the dirt from the outside into the house. They want to make sure that they keep everything as germ-free as possible. So they ask, can you please take off your shoes? I went over to somebody's house one time. They had those little things you put over your shoes. You know, surgical things. Had a box up by the door. Can you please put these over your shoes? Felt like I was going into surgery. Do you have a mask too? And I have. Do I need to wash my hands? But I understood their house, their rules. God's house, his rules. So if you're coming into the house of the Lord, leave it on the outside. Leave the dirt on the outside and worship him in honesty and integrity and in truth. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. You know, God wants pure hearts.
Yes, he does.
That's what he wants. He wants to use us. And in verse 27, David tells us in verse 7 of verse 2, chapter 26, David tells us why he has tried to keep himself clean. Verse 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I want my testimony to be true. When I give my testimony, I don't want people looking at me saying, look at that hypocrite up there. I saw him last week doing so and so on. And I see him dipping out and slipping in. And I see him, but I need to keep myself clean so I can tell everybody about somebody who can save everybody. I need to keep myself clean that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house. I have loved the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle and the place where your glory dwells. That's his goal in life, is to worship the Lord, is to serve the Lord, because God has been so good to him. Then in verse 9, do not gather my soul with sinners. In other words, don't grade me on the curve with the rest of the class. Grade me as an individual, Lord. Yes, I live among them. Yes, there are my people, Lord. But don't gather my soul with the sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men. These were the individuals he was talking about. They were bloodthirsty. They were sinners. Look at more description of them in verse 10. In whose hands is a sinister scheme. They have scheming always on their mind. I think all of us probably know somebody that every time you see them, they're thinking about a new scheme. They're thinking about a new way to get over on somebody. They're thinking about some other way to do things. There's one thing to have a scheme, but another thing to have a sinister scheme. One that has ill intent. Those who scheme against you. I think my brother, the old James, would say it like this. They smile in your face. But all the time, they're trying to take your place. They will come at you like that, knowing they got evilness in their mind. Knowing they're just smiling faces sometimes. knowing. Excuse me for my back of the day moment. But for you younger folks, you have the benefit of Google. So just Google it, and you will find out all about it. They have sinister schemes. They have evil intent in their mind. Yes. And whose right hand is full of bribes.
Yes.
Bribery. They grease somebody's palm with money to get things done. You know, as we look at the 12th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, one thing that was notable about that afterwards was the bribery involved. So much so that the mayor even had to go to prison because of it, because some people saw the opportunity of federal aid and other donations as an opportunity to get rich and enrich themselves. They gave contracts to people who greased their palms. They gave contracts to other people and paid them higher rates for the work they did. They had sinister schemes, and whose hand is full of bribes. Now, if you can't trust the government, who can? You trust. Amen. You're already there. Sister said, put your confidence in God, because they smile in your face. Amen. Verse 11, but as for me, yes, I deal with these folks who have sinister schemes. Yes, I deal with these folks who are full of bribes. Yes, I deal with these sinners. Yes, I deal with these hypocrites. Yes, I deal with all of them. But as for me, you see, that's what we're accountable for. Didn't our parents tell us, just worry about you? You be trying to tell them what everybody else is doing, just worry about you. But as for me, now I remember Joshua said that too, didn't he? He said something like, when the children of Israel are acting up in the promised land, he said, y'all do what y'all want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. And David is saying the same thing here, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity.
That's right.
Redeem me and be merciful to me. But as for me, that's the one we have to worry about, is ourselves.
That's right.
You know, the worldly standard is to compare ourselves to the person next to us. Whether we get raises on job depends on how much better we are than the other person at that same level. Other things, opportunities in life is based on who's next to us. Whether we get into a certain educational institution is based off of our grades compared to somebody else's grades. But God does not work that way. It's an individual basis. We can't brag and say, I was better than they were. No. Lord, we can say, Lord, I walked in the integrity set before me. Lord, I followed the dictates of your word, the dictates of your ways. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. I'm not going to walk according to the world standard of integrity, because the world standard of integrity is kind of loose. The world standard of integrity is to wink and not look at things that are going on. They're still a good person, but they've done all of this. That's the world standard. I walk in my integrity, and my integrity is based off of you. Redeem me and be merciful to me. And then he sums up with, my foot stands in an even place. My foot stands in an even place. And you know, we go back to that very first verse where he talks about, I shall not slip. And this is why he shall not slip, because he's standing on solid ground.
Yes.
He's standing on even ground. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. When I go to worship, I will praise the Lord. When I go into battle, I will praise the Lord. Whatever I do, I will praise the Lord, because my foot stands in an even place. There's something about an even place to stand. If you've been walking on flat ground all your life, you might not appreciate what it's like climbing a rugged mountain trail. You might not appreciate walking on a sandy beach. Have you ever tried to run on the beach? It's not easy because you're not standing on even ground. The ground sinks below you as soon as you put your foot on the stands. If you're walking up a mountain trail, you have to carefully take each step because you don't know if it's solid or you don't know if it's loose. So if it's loose, you're going to fall down. If it's solid, you're going to keep on going. But when you stand on even ground, you're okay. When you come into the house of the Lord and able to walk around, you're standing on even ground. The question is today is, where do you stand today? Is the stability of the saints is so important. Is there such thing as unstable saints? Yes, there are. I happen to know a few. But there is instability among the saints. But God wants stability. God wants us to be able to say, I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your promises. I'm standing on your faith. I'm standing on your mercy. I'm standing on your grace. I'm standing on your covering. I'm standing. Where are you standing today? Are you standing on the promises of God? Or are you standing on the suggestions of Satan? Two choices. Satan can get in your mind and affect your heart. The mind is the moral decision maker. The heart is the emotional one. Where do we stand today with the Lord? Can we go before the Lord today and say, Lord, vindicate me? Can we stand here today and say, Lord, I've tried my best not to go in with evil people. Lord, I've tried not to hang out with folks who have ill intent. When the talk starts becoming unholy, Lord, I separate myself from them. When they talk about bribery, a quick rich schemes, Lord, I remove myself from their presence. Lord, I love them, but they're not acting as if they know you. Today, the question is, where do you stand? David knew where he stood. And David knew whose he was. And David knew who he was. Again, he was not perfect. But he did not practice sinful activities. That's the difference. Where is your heart today? Are you set on following the Lord? Are we set on following the Lord? If we are, don't be concerned when people talk about us.
Amen.
Don't be concerned when we don't get the invitations. Don't be concerned if they free judged us as being too good for them. No, I'm barely just good enough for God. And that's all I'm concerned about right now. Don't be concerned about the people around you, but be concerned about your foundation with the Lord. Where are you standing? If it's shaky, there are opportunities to shore it up and make it more stable. We need to stay in the Word. We need to stay in the Word. How can we ask the question, what would Jesus do in this situation, if we don't know what Jesus did in that situation? We need to make sure we stay in prayer with Him, in constant communications, thanking Him for all that He has done for us in our lives. That way, we can stand before Him and say, test me, Lord. Examine me, Lord. Examine my thoughts, Lord. Examine my mind. Examine my heart, Lord. Examine me, Father. And if there's anything that needs to be fixed, Lord, I pray that you will be merciful and graceful, Lord. Examine me, O Lord. It's an individual command. It's not something to examine us, O Lord, but examine me, O Lord. You are responsible for your own salvation. You can't save anybody else. We can't take anybody to heaven with us. It's up to us. Yes, we share Christ with them. Yes, we talk to them about God. Yes, we desire for people to be saved. But our main focus has to be on ourselves. And once we get ourselves straight, then we can help others. Then we can help others. The topic is, examine me. Oh Lord, does this examination cause you stress? Or is it something you can go in with confidence, knowing that everything's going to be all right? Examine me, oh Lord. The lessons from David, a lesson for us. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Examine me, oh Lord. We ask you to stand as we ask the question, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? That is a question that has been asked during every generation since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? And I'm so glad the word tells us how to answer that question. We can answer yes if we have a relationship with him. We can answer yes if we have accepted him through faith. If we have confessed him with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we have believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. We can say yes. But if we're unsure of the answer, I stand here to tell you that we serve an awesome God who shared his son to die for us so we could be redeemed back to him. So if there's one that would like to put their trust in Jesus Christ and start a new relationship with the Father, we ask that you please come forth at this time as the choir sings. And also, if you don't have a church home, we ask that you prayerfully consider Beacon Light Missionary Baptist Church to become your church home, a home where we come together to worship together, study together, pray together, praise together, and work together.